Welcome back to the Broadway Block. On today's episode, we did it, boys. We clinched the Metro. We were the best team this season. And we got a great guest today, Jim Cerny, executive editor of Forever Blue Shirts. Jim, how are you feeling these days?
I'm doing well. How are you boys doing?
Well, we were at that game for Ottawa. I wish we got to see the trophy roll out, but I'm imagining that's going to be a little treat on game number one for us. You mentioned it before we hit record here that puck drops on Sunday, and that kind of seems like all we're really waiting for. What a way to end the season, right? A little Igor shutout. You kind of feel like you carry that momentum into the playoffs, and a matchup that, you know, on paper maybe favors the Rangers, but could kind of go either way. So what are your thoughts as we open up the playoff round here?
You touch on a bunch of different topics there. First of all, the momentum. This is what players have told me. I've covered the league, you know, for 30 years. They say there's no carryover. Players absolutely believe that, and coaches do too. Whether the Rangers had gotten smoked 7-1 in that game by Ottawa or 1-4-0 as they did, you know, they don't believe in the carryover, that even within a series. Even though I find it a little hard to believe, players will tell you that there's no carryover from game one to game two, game two to game three. So each game is its own entity. And that's, you know, mentally, that's how they approach it. And I said, I've told players, oh, come on, you know, there has to be some kind of carryover. And he said, well, things do carry over, you know, let's say the physical aspect of a series. If you keep, you know, pounding on the top defensive, if you keep pounding on John Carlson over the, you know, the duration of a series, yeah, that he's going to wear down and not be as effective. And sure, there's that. But the actual, you know, the momentum thing is something that players and coaches really don't buy into, which I find really interesting. You know, from the outside as a reporter or as a fan or whatever. But yeah, you know, you talk about, you know, kicking it off Sunday and Rangers Caps. Listen, I know that there's always a lot of hand wringing and angst, you know, when it comes to playoff time, no matter how good the Rangers are, it's like the fans are waiting for that other shoe to drop. If the shoe drops here, and it could, I'm not saying that they're going to, you know, oh, yeah, they're going to run straight to the cup or what have you. You know, it's going to be a difficult road. But I'd be hard-pressed to believe that the Capitals are going to win this series. I mean, you know, when you step back and you objectively look at how deep the Rangers are, how talented they are, how consistent they've been this season, I mean, Washington, everything would have to go Washington's way, you know, the breaks, the goaltending, maybe the injury situation, maybe some, you know, controversial calls. I mean, they really need everything to break their way, I think, to win this series. That's how much better I think the Rangers are than the Capitals heading into this series.
Well, we've seen in previous playoff Rangers history that the Rangers have gone long series with teams. And do you see the Rangers going long with the Capitals into like 6 or 7, or do you think they could get it wrapped up in 5?
It's a good question. Listen, we don't know until we know, I guess, right?
Obviously, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, it's the Stanley Cup playoffs, and anything and everything can and probably will happen. But I really think the Rangers will win this series in 5. I think they're that much better. And give a game to Washington. I don't think Washington's going to get blown out in these games because they don't play that kind of way. You know, they button it down. Charlie Lindgren's been really, really good in goal for them. They played for the better part of the season pretty close games, close-checking games. They're not a bad defensive team. They're not as good as the Rangers are defensively. But Lindgren's held his own in goal. They've been pretty good defensively in front of him. What they don't do a lot of is put the puck in the net. They really struggle to score offensively. Now, this last stretch, the last 6 weeks or so of the season, their power play has really helped them out a lot. It was a big boost for them. But, you know, if you look at their special teams over the course of the season, they're just average. But over the last 6 weeks or so, their power play's been good. Their power play's going to have to be great. Ovechkin's have to sit in that office and score a lot of goals for this to be a series, I think. But the but, it's circling back to, you know, where we started, you know, the question and answer here is, you just don't know. You know, it's a Stanley Cup playoffs. Crazy things can happen. You know, I think I wrote this today. If you've got a superstar, and Washington does, and Alex Ovechkin, and if you've got a hot goalie, like they do in Charlie Lindgren, you've got a puncher's chance, right? A couple bounces go your way. All of a sudden, you know, the Rangers, the pressure is going to be all on them if they fall behind in this series at any point, right? Not in the game so much, but in the series itself. You know, then, you know, listen, maybe the tide can turn and Washington can ride the wave. But I think all things being equal, you know, and teams play to their highest level, if that's the case, I think it'd be Rangers in five.
Yeah, that was actually trending on Twitter today, Rangers in five. I like that. A lot of people seem to agree. I would say that, I mean, there's four teams that finished with 38 wins in the Metro, so it really came down to the wire for them to make it in. All credit to them. We've seen the eighth-seeded team, you know, make it all the way to the finals and win cups. So, you know, you want to say that anyone who would have made it into the dance would have a chance, but I do like our chances. If you walk down the lineup and, you go player for player, yeah, I think we have a much better roster than they do. But I can definitely see a game going their way and that kind of maybe being like, oh, well, hey, wait a minute. This team actually has a chance. And like you mentioned, I mean, a hot goalie can take you very, very far. I do think our goalie's the more consistent and better bet. And as for the whole momentum thing, you know, I also find that kind of odd. It seemed like the building was, you know, ripe for the puck to drop for the opening series right then and there. Like everybody in the room felt, you know, kind of really ready for that to start. And it seemed like a really good way to kind of put a stamp on the season. You know, you set the record for most wins as the Rangers did, 55, you know, and I saw a tweet about, you know, they're chanting Rangers suck against the Islanders Devils game. And, you know, it's like, as I'm reading that, I'm also scrolling past, you know, Rangers set franchise history and accomplish a feat in 55 wins that neither the Islanders or the Devils have completed in their history. So it does certainly feel like a special year. I think, especially since we were there, it kind of feels like you are a part of history. And I think with all of that being said, there is tremendous expectation with the Capitals, who barely squeaked in, and what a weird, and we could talk about that too, what a weird way to clinch a spot into the playoffs, the way that they did with a game-tied empty net goal. But to that point, all of the expectation is on the Rangers. And that being said, who knew a week ago that they were going to be in the playoffs, and they're kind of on borrowed time playing with house money. So, you know, it could go either way, but like you said, I do like our chances for sure.
And you make some really good points there. And you go back to that Ottawa game. You're right. I mean, listen, the fans are hungry here. They feel it. And you're spot on. This is a special group. That locker room is really, really tight, which is part of the battle. You know, you have to have everybody kind of pulling in the same direction. And, you know, I've covered this team since, you know, early 90s. And, you know, I was there for the Cup in 93, 94 as a reporter. And, you know, those special seasons, you know, they come around infrequently, at least in Rangers history, they do, you know, where you can say, boy, that's a special group. I'd go back. I thought the 91, 92 team was a special group. You know, it was Mark Messier's first season here, Adam Graves' first season. And just so many things broke their way, and they made them break their way too. You know, Brian Leetch was an Norris Trophy winner. Mark Messier was the Hart Trophy winner. But still, it wasn't all perfect, right? Because they ended up losing in the second round. At 93-94, you talk about a team that faced pressure from day one all the way through. You know, the only expectation was to win the Stanley Cup that season, and they delivered. It's hard to be the hunted. I just think against this opponent, and you're right, Washington's probably playing with house money here, and there's less going to be less pressure on them. But yes and no. Yes, there's less pressure on them, but you know, Charlie Lindgren hadn't played in the play. He hasn't been a playoff goalie yet, right? So this is going to be his first whack at it, and he's going to be rabid Madison Square Garden, you know, for games one and two. And listen, maybe he settles in and does well. We certainly remember how well Braden Holtby used to match up with Henrik Lundqvist in those, you know, great Caps Rangers playoff series. So you just don't know. Like, we can all predict, but you don't know until you know. And I think Washington will, I wouldn't even say steal, I was going to say steal a game, but they're going to win a game. You know, they're going to win a game in this series. And then there'll be the hand-wringing, unless the Rangers are up 3-0 when they lose game four or something. There'll be the hand-wringing, and Ranger fans are going to be really nervous. But I think they're going to control this series. I think they're just that good. And again, going to your point, it is a special season. It's a special group. It's how they win, too. I mean, they win in all different ways, but you know, there's something about when you consistently are able to come back 28 times and win games. You go into the third period tied, and win, what, 13 games this season when they entered the third period tied. I mean, that's a team that is comfortable in the style of hockey that they play, that they can fall back on. They trust each other. There's a ton of trust in that locker room. And there's just the belief that we're going to get it done. Maybe it's going to be the superstar Artemi Panarin, superstar, you know, Adam Fox, or maybe it's just, you know, that third line's going to come. It's going to be Will Cooley or Kaapo Kakko, but somebody's going to do it. Somebody's going to make that big play. Goalie's going to make a big save, and somebody's going to come back the other way, make the big play and score the big goal, because they've done it all year long. And, you know, I know that they had that rough 4 or 5 week stretch, maybe 6 weeks. I think that's a good thing. I think it's great that they weathered that storm, and it shows them. There were choppy waters, and it lasted for a little bit. They really had to grind through it. Certainly Igor had to. But they came out on the other end of it. And they came out on the other end of it playing their best hockey of the season down the stretch. That's as good as they played at the beginning of the season. I think they were even better at the end of the season. And to me, that is huge, to be playing that well. We talk about, you know, players don't believe in momentum. All well and good. You still want to be playing your best hockey at the most important time of the season. And the Rangers are that. I think these last couple months, that every challenge that's been put in front of them, every good opponent that's been put in front of them, they haven't won all those games, but they've represented and they've played really, really well and played their best hockey. So I think that bodes really well. You have a really good team, a special season, a special team, and oh yeah, they're playing their best hockey right now. Now they're not the only team that's that way. The Hurricanes came down the stretch like a locomotive as well. Florida Panthers did as well. You know, it's going to be a bear to get out of this conference. But that said, and my buddy Matt Calamia at Forever Blue Shirts wrote a story about this today. Get through the first round as quickly as you can. Let the other teams, those three other series in the Eastern Conference, they might be wars, all of them. You know, so let those teams beat up on each other and you sit back for get a couple extra days of rest. And then you're the fresh team moving forward, you know, even if it's just the first round and then you got to grind through the next, you know, however long you last, 2-3 rounds, hopefully. You know, it would be an amazing benefit if they can get through that first round quickly, which I think they will.
Yeah. Almost every team that has won in recent memory has gotten through a series or two without going seven games. I think that definitely speaks to your point about the slog that it takes to get there, and that you can, you know, almost weaponize that against the teams that are still left, for sure.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think Matt said in his story that there are only two teams in the salary cap era that went seven games in the first round and then won the Stanley Cup that same season. Well, I think the Bruins were one, and I forget who the second team was.
So. Well, look at the Cats last year. They just looked beat up by the time. 16 games is hard. You guys touched on a lot of great points about the team being really special this year. And I just feel like this season, everything has been calm, even though there's been trouble that you guys mentioned on Igor a little bit here and there, the power play being questionable sometimes. Laviolette really has steered the ship this year. And I think anything that comes up, even if it went to a game 7 in the first round, the adversity this team faces is like they're ready, tested, ready to go. And we had Jack Michaels on, the Oilers announcer, and he touched on a point that you made is that we got those kind of rough periods out of the way, and we are playing our best hockey right now in front of us. And I feel like the only storylines left for the Rangers is that they can go deep in the playoffs and they can make the cup, and Artemi Panarin can be the leader and like prove that he could win the Hart Trophy.
Well, you know, the Hart Trophy, he certainly is a serious candidate for it. The crazy thing is the amazing seasons
the
other guys have had. He may not even be a finalist for the award, which
Kucherov just hit 100 assists tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's two guys with 100 assists this season. I mean, that's insane. But certainly, you know, even if he comes away with no hardware, I mean, the year that Artemi Panarin put up and the consistency that with which he played, consistency with his results, but also with the effort. And I loved how he changed his mindset this season, that he's more of a, I still don't call him a shoot first player. I think he still looks to make that pass and set up the other guys first. That's his instinct. But he shot a lot more this season, and he's got a great shot.
And they were great shots.
Yeah. And look, he ends up with 49 goals. You know, how many times over these years have we been saying, come on, he's got to shoot more. You know, he's still putting up doing his 90 points and everything. And, you know, a lot of assists. His consistency this year was special. And that's how you get to 120 points, really. It's that consistent effort, and it's just that consistent production. That line, I'll tell you something. Panarin's the MVP this year of the Rangers, you know, no doubt. But boy, oh boy, the role Vincent Trocheck played this season. You forget, this season began, Vincent Trocheck was the third line center. Hedl was the second line center. Trocheck's a third line center. And he's, you know, everybody talks about him. He's a gritty guy. He'll chip in with some goals, you know, but he's good defensively and, you know, plays a good two-way game, speed, you know, the whole nine yards. Well, Hedl gets knocked out in early November. Trocheck moves up, and seamlessly that, you know, fits in with Lafreniere and Panarin. And I know Panarin drives the line because he's the superstar, but Trocheck was outstanding this season. And to me, you know, I know he won the Steve McDonald Extra Effort Award. I thought, I don't want to say it should have been a runaway, but to me, there was a clear-cut number one guy for that award, and it was Vincent Trocheck this season. That's how impressed I am with his game. It doesn't mean he always makes the right play, and, you know, I know some fans, you know, they dig into his analytics and things like that. All I know is he's a heart and soul guy that's got a lot of skill and plays really well with two of the best players on the team. And he fits right in. And he was a deserving all-star this year, deserving of the McDonald Award. And he's a guy that, to me, is right below Panarin as being most valuable this season. I think that highly of how well he played in every facet of the game, in the 200-foot game. And guys like that, you win division titles. You win Stanley Cup championships with guys like him, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the point discrepancy too, because a lot of people like to, you know, point out that he kind of rode Panarin's coattails like that. But think about, to the point of Panarin's dominance, how many more points that Panarin has had where Trocheck wasn't even a part of them. But to that, Trocheck becomes that kind of setup guy, the way we saw Strom and the way we've seen other players kind of step in and really find not only chemistry, but complementing one another. And providing a lane for somebody like Lafreniere, it's beautiful the way it all came together. And you're spot on with a lot of people would be quick to forget how the season started out, that, you know, Hedl was at the time such a massive loss, and a lot of that sting was kind of taken away by Trocheck sliding in the way he did. And you touched on a point that just kind of made me think that, you know, it is special. The year that he's had, obviously great. It's probably one of the best, you know, pound for pound seasons that you've watched the Rangers player, you know, ever. And it's the number two in history. So it's like obviously special. But it is funny to me that he's such a clear-cut MVP this year. But if you scale that back a few years, that was Adam Fox when he won the Norris, and, you know, scale that to the Vezina season with Igor. And it's like, that's the, I think what gives this fan base so much hope behind this team is that on any given Sunday, you said Trocheck as the second MVP, but there's like a five player list most days that could be the most valuable player to this team, which is what makes, in my opinion, Artemi's season so much more special than it is, because of how much head and shoulders he was above any other player on the team when we have so much talent surrounding him, which is really so special. And then when you look at the point discrepancy, I mean, there are a lot of players that have had very special years this year, but I don't think any of them have done it with someone who's sub 80 points as a line mate, and being that, it's just hilarious. I love, you know, you bring up the 100 assists, but I love everybody doing like gymnastics to try to take Artemi out of the discussion. I mean, it reminds me akin to basketball, the way that Jalen Brunson is playing for the Knicks right now. Top five player in the league, won't even sniff MVP just because of the way that people like to speculate against them. But I hope that this year provides Artemi with a chance to kind of rewind the clocks a little bit on the playoff disappearances and kind of right the ship that way. And one thing that kind of gets lost in all this is that Laviolette used to coach the Capitals. So there's a whole team buy-in, you know, to him as the coach, and all the players want to, you know, kind of light that fire from last year. And I'm sure he wants to stick it to them too, man.
There's no question. But I think there's less of that stick it to them, because I don't think that was a bad relationship there. I think he probably just wasn't, you know, the right coach anymore for that group. I think when he was hired, you know, it was still a team that believed it was a serious Stanley Cup contender. So obviously Laviolette's a fit for that. You know, that's the type of team he should be coaching. But, you know, I think when they mutually parted ways, as was the wording, you know, last April, I tend to believe it was kind of that way. I think he was happy to go. He knew it wasn't quite the fit anymore. And, you know, Washington, you know, no question, felt that they needed, you know, a different voice, a younger coach to start developing that next wave of Washington Capitals. And listen, we could go on a tangent here about the job that Carberry has done this year. He's been fantastic. And talk about guys who probably won't win awards. He probably won't win Jack Adams or, you know, be a finalist for it. But boy, oh boy, that's a heck of a first-year job. You know, I tweeted out today the job Spencer Carberry did and the job John Tortorella did in Philly. You talk about doing the most with the least. Yeah. Those two guys are at the top of the list of that. And, you know, at least deserve consideration, if not being finalists, at least deserve consideration as coach of the year. But, you know, speaking to Laviolette, and I know both of you have brought him up. I mean, he's done just an outstanding job. He's pushed all the right buttons. He has a very calm demeanor. I think he's a better communicator than Gerard Gallant was. I think he's a better tactician, in-game tactician, and also preparing the team better than Gerard Gallant. And this is no knock on Gallant, because he was a heck of a coach, you know, a couple hundred point seasons with this group. Sure. And took them to the conference final his first year. But Laviolette is a really good fit. And I go back to last year's playoffs, getting knocked out in the first round by New Jersey, a series that they know they should have won. In retrospect, I know it was painful at the time for the players, for the fans, for everybody. It's the best thing that could have happened to them, because, boy, that got their attention quickly. You saw this too. They were a different team this year, beginning to end. Their buy-in to Laviolette's system You know, these guys had to play more of a 200-foot game. How much better were the Rangers this season compared to previous seasons in the neutral zone? Now, I know that, you know, they had their tough stretch there for four, face-offs, 5, 6 weeks.
Face-offs, too.
Face-offs were fantastic. Much, much better. Trocheck had a big season there in the face-off.
Yeah, Vincent Trocheck.
Yeah. But, yeah, face-offs were better. But how they bought into that style of play and how they just squeezed the life out of people at times. You know, they can run and gun with the best of them, but they, for the most part, have stayed away from that. And they're getting turnovers in the neutral zone. And what they're so good at is then going the other way, you know, with speed and with high skill. But they're turning the opposition over much more in the neutral zone now. That Rangers-Carolina 1-0 game down in Raleigh, mm-hmm. man, that was textbook. You know, the Rangers beat Carolina at their own game, you know, where both, I mean, and Carolina was great that game. Like, they played a heck of a game. But the Rangers were just a little bit better at Carolina's game, you know, and there was, you just couldn't get through the neutral zone with those two teams. But yet the Rangers, you know, had the will, found a way. Igor, you know, obviously had a great night that night. But it's that, and that consistency and sticking to Laviolette's style, and the buy-in from the players, the respect that the players have in the coach, and the fact that they got kicked in the face, they got kicked in the teeth in the first round last year, clearly did not like that feeling. All of that comes together into them playing the style of hockey that wins in the playoffs. This is a winning style if they can stick to it, you know, in the playoffs. It doesn't guarantee you wins, but you're going to be right there in the thick of it with their level of skill, their goaltending, and now this commitment to playing to a 200-foot game and really tightening it up in the neutral zone and at your own blue line, really making it difficult for teams, you know, to work through and clearly gain into your zone, really is a big deal for the Rangers. And Laviolette deserves a massive credit for that. The one area that does concern you, there are times where teams can really beat the Rangers off the rush. And that's where Florida worries me, because Florida can play every style imaginable. They can go big and heavy. They can beat you off the rush. They're solid defensively. They'll turn you over in the neutral zone and scoot the other way. They'll outwork you down low. That's a matchup that, you know, kind of makes me go, that's some seven-game series right there if we get, you know, Rangers and Panthers. But, you know, that's jumping ahead of the game. And just, you know, Peter Laviolette obviously deserves, you know, to be a finalist for the Jack Adams. You can make an argument for him or, you know, Chris Knobloch or, yeah, there are quite a few deserving candidates, but he came in this year and did one hell of a job coaching this team.
Do you think the Cats roll? They're getting Tampa, right, for round one. Do you think that's going to be a tough one? Because I've seen Tampa play everybody the last couple games, even when they're kind of cooling down from their hot streak, still playing everybody tough.
Yeah, it's going to be a war, and it's a war anyway because you have two teams that you know there's some history there,
same
and
state.
They don't really love each other. Yeah, you know, listen, everybody respects Tampa, so nobody's going to let up against Tampa, even though they're not the same team that won the cup. That's still a team that has everyone's respect. That's the team you did not want the Rangers to face in the first round. Not that I don't think the Rangers could win that series, but you talk about a slog and, you know, grinding.
You just don't
want
to get caught off guard on them.
I mean, they're just so good. They're so smart. And they've got a guy that's won two cups in the net. You know, that's a team you don't want to face. You can beat them, but it's not going to be easy. And then what does it take out of you, you know, in the second round, in the third round, as you move forward? I think the Panthers will win the series. They're the better team. But I think Tampa will push him 6, maybe 7. and it's not going to be easy. And then, you know, you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference. I mean, listen, Toronto and Boston, that's going to be a war. And then, yeah, I think Carolina is much better than the Islanders, I believe. But there's something about the Islanders right now. Patrick Waugh's got them believing. They're playing gritty. They're playing hard. They won't beat Carolina, I don't think. I don't see an upset there. But if Sorokin stands on his head, you know, the Islanders continue to grind the way they've been grinding, that's another one that could be a 6-7 game series. And you know, my philosophy is if you get to game seven, then, you know, start flipping the coin.
Yeah.
No favorite wants to be in that position. As much as teams talk confident and tough and everything, no favorite wants to be in that game seven. Yeah, you get it in your building, you know, if you're the favorite, but you don't really want that. You don't want if you're Carolina, you don't want the Islanders pushing you to game seven down in Raleigh.
Right. Well, no, and
as we've seen in the past.
No, totally. You bring up a great point too about that series. It's I think on paper, obviously Carolina, but there's something stylistically about those two opponents that make you think that it could go either way. If you're a fight fan or not, but you know, styles make fights, and that's really what it is that, you know, I could see a world where it goes 6 or 7 and it could be either one of them taking that series. So, you know, you talked about the run and gun with New Jersey. And I think one of the key takeaways that I've had from this season that makes us different than that team is that if we decided to run and gun, that would be the full 60 minutes. And I think that this team now under Laviolette's system, as you touched on, understands the moment when to take those opportunities. And based on the talent that we have, we can do that with anybody in the league. But it's about taking those shots and not turning it into a track meet, because we saw as it opened up, you know, a team like the Panthers, and obviously I'm talking about New Jersey, will take advantage of you in those moments. And it's just about kind of maintaining that poise and, you know, frustrating people in the neutral zone until those opportunities come up. And a guy that comes to mind is, you know, Jimmy Vesey, that can kind of turn his defense into a breakaway play that just changes the whole shape of the game. And, you know, we talked about momentum, you know, game to game, series to series, but moment to moment within a game, those are the tide shifts that will start to take over a series and start to really overwhelm a team when they feel like they can't really seem to do anything right. Cause when it gets tough, it just gets tougher. So I do like the Rangers' chances against almost every team in the league. And it feels really good to say that confidently. So, you know, thanks again. I mean, we could talk for another hour with you about Rangers hockey, but thanks so much for being generous with your time and taking the time to speak with us, man.
Absolutely. Anytime. If you want to break down more series, hopefully there are plenty more series to come this spring.
Jim, I hope you're right, man.
Jim, you got a score prediction? Steve and I always like to do a score prediction from our guests.
So here's the thing. You know, I know all my talk about how, you know, the Rangers and, you know, they're the much better team and everything. There's part of me that almost thinks Washington can win game one. You know, like steal a game.
No one wants to say, don't worry, Jim, you're not alone. We'll Everybody doesn't want to say it, and we won't clip it. We won't use it. Just give us an honest prediction.
Right. My honest prediction, my heart and my gut says 4-1 Rangers.
Took the words out of my mouth, man. Argument, though, for that first game, and I don't know why I think it's the first game. If they did win the first game, the Capitals, for some reason I have us winning the next three, and then it goes to six, maybe. I don't know why I just get these like lotto numbers in my head sometimes. It makes me feel like I got to go grab a ticket, but 4-1 Rangers for the first game, I can be all about that one, Jim.
Rangers in five.
Yeah, Rangers in five is probably the easier prediction.
Well, let's go Rangers, brother.
Let's go Rangers.